You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
Hello, everyone. It's Carl Anker. How are you?
Yeah, we do the podcast every Tuesday. Remember to follow us on Twitter, at Talking Tactics, Facebook, Instagram, all the Talking Tactics. Links are in the description. If you're listening on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. It's free. Leave us a five-star review, and we'll read it on the show. Carl, where can people find you on the internet before we get going?
You can find me on Twitter, at Anchorman616. Anchorman spelled A-N-K-A, and then man, and the number 616. You can also find me on The Athletic, with my writings covering Manchester United twice a week, and then a general weekly column on the world of football you can find on The Athletic right now. Those not based in the United Kingdom will also be able to find me on Premier League Productions television from time to time throughout the Premier League season as well. I'm also on Wrighty's House podcast, which is Ian Wright's podcast, talking about the great, the good, and the strange about football. That will be going out on the Ringer podcast network as well. So, yeah, you can find me in a few places.
It used to be like, you could just give me on Twitter, but now it's like, it's a whole thing. Yo, have we talked since the book dropped publicly?
I don't think so.
What's that been like?
That's a big question. I mean, I'm so happy to see the response the book has got. For those just tuning in, I wrote You Are a Champion alongside Marcus Rashford. And to anyone that's picked up a copy or flicked through it at a bookshop, I'm forever thankful to you. It's been really heartening to see so many children respond so well to this book. We were number one in the children's book chart in the United Kingdom for about a month. And then to see the overwhelming response the book got again after the final of the European Championship as well was amazing. It's been really great to see so many children read it and say they've taken lessons from it. It's been fantastic to hear parents say, my child normally only ever plays FIFA or doesn't really like reading, but has really enjoyed that book. So that's been incredible. And I just want to say thank you again for Marcus for the opportunity. And here's hopefully, fingers crossed, there's some more in the future.
Cool. Messi's leaving Barcelona. It was one of those things where I didn't believe it. The official Barcelona account came out with like some 7-minute tribute. And I was like, oh, you wouldn't do that unless this was like somewhat serious. But then there was still a little bit of doubt in my mind. And I told Half Hope earlier, ever since the Super League, I'm having issues with believing big news. Like the news could be real now, but like 2 or 3 days later, it could be totally different, right? Everybody joined the Super League. And then like 48 hours later, it was canceled. So now I'm in this weird space where like big news might happen, but still let's wait. Maybe this is what they think today, but what will happen tomorrow? Because this seems like way too big of a thing. Until yesterday when like he's crying. Well, people say, you know, they were crocodile tears, but it is.
No, those are real ones. Those are real ones. You know what's funny? I say funny. I mean, funny as in weird, not funny as in hilarious. Yeah, I watched that press conference with my partner, who is an Ajax fan. She commented on how I was smiling watching this. And she asked me, Carl, I thought you loved Messi. And I said, no, look, I think Messi is the best football player on the planet. I think he's probably the greatest football player of all time. I'm not really interested in getting an argument about whether Messi's the greatest football player of all time. He probably is. If you don't think so, that's fine too. I also said, Messi stopped my team from winning a Champions League once. So therefore, I'm going to laugh at this because I'm small and bitter. I know you have felt the same way regarding your interesting fandom with Chelsea. So I'm sure you had some comments about the 2009 Champions League semi-finals when Messi was doing this as well.
You see, I don't blame Messi for that because that semi-final was a particular thing, and it wasn't down to necessarily one player. It was I feel it was a system error. But you know what? The more days and weeks and months and years that pass, I'm trying to let that game go. It's very difficult, but I don't have the same hate in my heart that I might have 5 years ago when we discussed this. But it hurts, but it doesn't hurt that badly anymore because I flushed Chelsea from my system, man. Like it's not as deep as it once was. But yes. Oh, yeah?
You hand in your gun and badge?
Kind of, yeah. Like when I say that, but when we talk about Lukaku, you're going to hear me get a little bit happy. So it's not completely gone, but just like just the hate that I had for different things, I'm trying to let it go. It was a hell of a goal by Iniesta. Come on. And I couldn't even enjoy the moment. Imagine being a neutral watching that game. It must have been fantastic. But anyway, he looked blindsided by the whole thing. I felt confused, but imagine being him. And like last year, you didn't want to stay, but you stayed. Now this year, you want to stay, but you have to go.
I think like, he always wanted to stay. Right. Even the Brewer facts was basically him going, I don't want to have to do this, but I'm going to have to do this to force you to get your act together.
Right.
And then what's become apparent throughout the course of 2021 was there was no way Barcelona could get their act together in that season. Right. So you had the elections where Laporta comes back in, surveys all the damage done by Bartomeu. And then as the season goes on and on and on, it becomes increasingly likely that Laporta's like, I can't fix this. And therefore you have the conversation where you ask Messi, can you take a 50% pay cut? Messi says yes. And then it becomes even more apparent. Well, going by the press conference there, Messi only finds out that week that there is zero chance he can stay. There was a lot of conversation on Sunday saying, if Messi cares so much, if Messi's crying so much, why doesn't he play for free? And then...
even if he played for free, that wouldn't fix it.
This is the thing, right? And I'm put this in lowercase, so not like a big, I'm not going to emphasize it. That's the small tragedy of this, right? So Laporte makes a statement that we're all aware of the salary cap and how there's a salary cap in La Liga. It works in terms of your turnover based on certain things. And such was the ridiculous rate of Barcelona's recently that their salary cap has been quite stringent this season. So I think they can have the wage bill that puts them equivalent to Leicester City or Everton this year, when in the three years previous, they've had the largest wage bill on the planet Earth. And Laporte makes this comment about how even when Messi's on the books, when you have Messi's salary, their wages to turnover is 110, possibly 115%. And even without Messi on the books, their wages to turnover is 95%. Now,
and they have to get it down to 60 or 70.
They need to get it down to 70. So it's not just Messi that's been told they have to leave. There's also a number of people they need to get off the books. So you saw some of this on a smaller level with Trincao being loaned out to being loaned out from Barcelona to Wolves. So I think the small tragedy of Messi right now is Messi very clearly loves Barcelona. And I'm not sure if he means Barcelona as the club or Barcelona the place, but Barcelona, there is a concept of Barcelona that Messi regards as his home, possibly regards as a home more so than anywhere in Argentina, as some people from the national team criticize him for. He's more Barcelona Catalan than he's Argentinian, right? And it's almost Wenger-esque in that you desperately, desperately love something, but there is nothing you can do. It is out of your control. And I think that's why he's crying. I think the moment that got me a little bit was when he got a standing ovation from those in the assembled audience, and he broke down in tears because that was Daniel, I know you're a basketball fan. That's a Hall of Fame induction round of applause, right? That was very much a Jordan or a Rodman or a Larry Bird telling everyone, I love this sport, and everyone claps and says, you are fantastic. And then they hang your name for their rafters and put yourself in the Hall of Fame.
Do you go to classical music concerts ever?
I watch them on YouTube, shall I say.
When I'm in college, I took this music or university, I should say. I took this music appreciation elective, and one of the requirements was we had to go to like a classical music concert at the local symphony. I remember I went, and it was the first and only time that I'd ever been to a symphony. And what struck me was like at the very end, even like I'm a church kid. I grew up in church, so clapping and applause is like a thing. I've never seen anybody clap that long. It was like a standing ovation for like 5, 6, 7 minutes, just a bunch of old people in tuxedos and dresses clapping. And it made me think maybe like in Europe or places that maybe classical music or just that kind of culture is more permeated. Are claps like that more common? If something is like really important, you just stand there and clap for a long time?
You do in the goodbyes. And this was a... That was a goodbye that shouldn't have happened.
It felt like a clap at the end of that concert. This is really long. Like, it was almost like a congratulations, a congratulatory for like a great performance, you know?
Yes,
but
it was.
But in this case, for a great career.
Yes, and that's the tragedy, that his career isn't over. That this wasn't... It's nice that you bring up classical music, because when we talk about Messi, we describe him as some sort of great genius artist on the level of Mozart and whatnot, right? And that was... That was the applause. That was supposed to be the end of the opera or the end of the classical piece of classical music. That was supposed to be the end of genius or the end of a legend. Messi's speech, he said this was not the goodbye he wanted. He wanted a goodbye in a stadium. He wanted a goodbye in front of the Barcelona fans. And the fact that it's happened in a press conference on a Sunday, as he's telling them, I have to go and I don't want to go. I am going essentially because of just financial mismanagement from people that have come before me. And that there is absolutely nothing I can do to fix this. That is slightly tragic. And I mean tragic in the classical sense. You know, tragic in Achilles not being able to fix his heel. Or tragic in the Argo falling on top of a sleeping Jason in old age. Messi's, the final chapter of Messi's career should not have been a press conference. It's the Jordan thing, you know? When we think of Jordan's retirement, we think of the shot in Game 6. We don't think of the Washington Wizards. Messi at likely PSG. They may win titles, they may win Champions Leagues, but it's going to be a bit like Jordan at the Wizards, or it's going to be a bit like Patrick Ewing, not at the Knicks.
No. Like, we will get to PSG and why PSG are not the Wizards. I know what you mean in terms of just the visuals of it. PSG are now on a different level.
And they're PSG on a different level, and that's fine. But it's that thing of you shouldn't,
You shouldn't be here. Yeah.
Like this in some way, and I know we spent a lot of time on talk of tactics talking about legacy, and I have very quickly become someone who doesn't care about legacy. But this does feel like a very sharp break with the story Messi was meant to have. Messi was meant to do his entire career at Barcelona. He was meant to drop back and play in midfield and play over Xavi and whatnot. He was meant to have heirs in Neymar or other players like Ansu Fati. Right, everyone had the image of old man, gray bearded Messi, perhaps one day winning one more Champions League at the age of 36 or whatever. And this is all romantic notions. And the fact that he is leaving due to financial chaos and is possibly going to be joining a club that has its owners and has its own ideals of football. And depending on how you view football, you know, PSG are either romantic in the sense of they're in Paris, or they're decidedly unromantic in the case that they are backed by a petrostate. So the fact that Messi is having to leave what has been painted by many as a very romantic story about spending his entire career at Barcelona to then go to a football club in PSG, it feels like an undeserved ending.
What role have you gathered that the pandemic played in this? From what I understand, the finances in La Liga, in more cases than other leagues, especially most people that watch the Premier League might not have a concept of this, but a large percentage of Barcelona's budget comes from gate receipts. They have a 100,000-seat stadium in Camp Nou. To not fill that thing out for the past 18 months with 100,000 paying customers, Bartomeu was irresponsible with their finances, which everything points in that direction. However, maybe you could paper over the cracks and solve some of this stuff if there wasn't a global pandemic.
I think what's become very apparent, and I've mentioned this here or there and put it in my writing, is that a season and a half, a season and a bit of closed door football because of COVID has accelerated a number of financial irregularities. It's basically all of the problems that your football club had before the pandemic has bubbled up to the surface. Now, well, I think I've said this before on this podcast that if you are a football club with a 30,000 seater stadium, every time you play a home game behind closed doors, that's basically 1 million, 1.5 million that your club could have earned from ticket gate receipts and whatnot that you are not earning. And if you've got something like a 60,000 seater or a 70,000 seater stadium, you're losing, you know, that's maybe 2 million. Camp Nou is 99,000, right?
It's 100,000.
Like Barcelona's entire thing is the new Camp. The new Camp is so important to the money-making operation of Barcelona that even when Barcelona don't play football games, the tours that tourists do bring in thousands of pounds, right? So if you've ever, I mean, I was in Barcelona once on a bank holiday weekend and I had little else to do. So I went, okay, I'll go watch, you know, go look at the Sagrada Familia. I'll go do this. And well, I've got 4 hours to kill. I'll go check out the new Camp and pay this much money. And that's what you do, right? It's top five things you can do in Barcelona. Check out the architecture, check out the food and tapas, go out clubbing, go check out the new Camp, even if Barcelona aren't playing. When you can't do that, when you don't have that consistent supply of money, that's a problem. Now, that's one tiny part, that's one reasonable part of just rank financial chaos, right? Barcelona has been in so badly run since 2015. Right? I saw a really nice meme about the domino effect, where you flick one small domino and at the end there's the big one. And the first
it's like an old dude?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and the small domino effect is Arda Turan has two good seasons for Atletico Madrid, and the big domino is Barcelona have rank financial. I mean, there are so many bad signings Barcelona made, bad expensive signings Barcelona have made in the last, I want to say, since 2015. Let's get this up on Transfer Market. And some of these I'll just say the name and you can tell me was this a hit or a miss, or was this dud or whatnot. So let's go back to Arda Turan's season. So bear in mind, Arda Turan came in 2015, 2016, and Barcelona transfer ban. Remember?
Yeah, I remember. Like, he couldn't play for the first 6 months. He had to wait until January to register.
Barcelona had a transfer ban because they were already doing bad things in the transfer market, right? There were so many other financial irregularities they had. So this is 2015, 2016. And just to make this clear, let's find out what Barcelona were doing at the end of that season. I'm pretty sure they won La Liga. The problem begins the season after the treble, right? So the season after the treble, the season after MSN is sensational and wins everything. This is also the first season where Xavi has departed. So Barcelona have a transfer ban. No one can play for Barcelona until January. They go out and they buy Arda Turan for 30 million. Hit or miss?
That's a miss.
They also buy Alex Vidal from Sevilla, 15 million. Hit or miss?
Miss.
Okay. Season after that, they go out and get Andre Gomez from Valencia, 30 million. Miss. 33 million. They get Paco Alcacer, 27 million. Hit or miss?
It's another miss.
Yep. They get Samuel Umtiti, 22 million.
It's not a hit or a miss. It's like, lately it's been a miss, but at the time it was a hit. So we'll give them credit for that one.
They buy Luka Dina for 15 million.
Overall miss.
Yep. They get Jasper Siskelin from Ajax for 11 million.
Miss.
Dennis Suarez for 3 million.
I don't know.
So, okay, you can say you don't know. Okay, now we're really cooking. 2017-18. This is the summer Neymar goes.
Yeah, okay.
So, Philip Coutinho, 122 million.
Okay, at the time, I understood why he cost that much. Because of the Neymar money. But overall, it's a miss. Mm-hmm.
Ousmane Dembele, 111 million.
Another one that I understand, and it's harsh to say a miss, but so far, it's been a miss.
Paulinho, 36 million.
It was a miss.
It worked for the season it worked, and then it was a miss. Nelson Semedo, 30 million.
Damn. A miss. Isn't he at Wolves now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gerard Defeo, 10 million.
You said Dea Lefeu?
Lefeu.
Miss.
Yerry Mina, 10 million.
Miss.
Marlon, 5 million. I don't even know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Okay, 18, 19. Malcolm, 36 million.
I feel really bad for him, man.
I'm so angry. They shipped him out to Russia for no reason.
It was a miss.
He wasn't
at Roma. He was at Bordeaux. Roma had the deal.
Yeah,
and then Barcelona came in and he was like, I can't reject it. But then, you know, then they sent him to Zenit.
Yeah. Clement Lenglet, 32 million.
I mean, that's...
He's not good enough.
It's a miss. Yeah, it's a miss. It's a miss. It's a miss.
Artur from Gremio, 27 million.
Miss. They put him in a swap deal, didn't they?
He should have been a hit. He was absolutely doing fantastic. And then they had to swap to him with Juventus to clear the books because of all the other financial irregularity. Another player, Arturo Vidal, 16 million.
For 16, it's a miss.
Emerson Royale, 10 million.
I think he's still playing, so I don't know.
Jason Marulo, 1 million on loans.
Did you say Jason Derulo? Who did
Murillo,
you say?
Murillo from Valencia.
we'll call it a miss.
Kevin Prince-Boateng on a short-term loan for about 1 million.
Don't ask me that.
That was fine. That was fun. He got his chip. I like it when Boateng wins trophies. I'll keep that one. Jean-Claire Todibo.
I don't know.
Paulinho. Again, Paulinho. The end of the loan. So they had to extend. It was a loan and they made it proper. And then we go again. Antoine Griezmann, 108 million.
Okay. You know he's on like 800. Yeah. Like this is pre-tax, but like 880.
Yep.
For that money, it's a miss.
Yep. For that money and the fact that his best position is on the left, which is where Messi plays. Griezmann's the player I'm most interested to see post-Messi because Griezmann has the most to benefit playing-wise. If you're playing Football Manager or if you're in your Football Manager and you're currently in charge of Barcelona, your choice now is, do you put Griezmann on the left or do you put Coutinho on the left? And I think if you put Griezmann there, put Braithwaite up front, and then on the right you play Ousmane Dembele if Dembele can prove fitness.
Dembele and Coutinho have to give way for Fati if he can
Griezmann
run
on left. If you can, and if you can register one of Memphis or Aguero is now apparently injured and out until November, you play him and then you play with someone on the right hand side. That's not a bad front three, right? The squad is not like the squad is not immediately going to fall out of the top four in Spain,
but
they ain't touching Champions League trophies for a little bit. That's going to hurt, right? So Antoine Griezmann, 108 million. Frankie de Jong, 77 million.
That's a hit. Frankie's a hit.
Yep. Neto, 23 million. Barcelona have given a lot of money to Valencia. As I've been going through this list, there's a lot of money going to back and forth from Valencia. They must have good conversations. Pedri.
Oh, okay.
For 18 million. Good.
Yeah, I'll get that one.
Martin Braithwaite.
Yeah.
16 million. That was fine. I mean, the manner in which they got him.
True. It's a miss because it's dirty how they did it.
Dirty how they did it. And Mateus Fernandez, who I don't particularly know. So we can
Me
say
neither. So.
Neither. Mark Kuakera, 3 million. So we don't know. So we've just done all of their transfer arrivals since 15-16, the season after the travel.
I think I counted 4. And some of those are like a bit questionable. Like giving a hit to Umtiti in 2021 is me just wanting to be nice to him.
So 3 absolute unquestionable hits and the better part of half a billion spent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
And you bring up the wages of Griezmann and the wages of other players that have been and come and this is why Barcelona are in a situation. And
can we talk about wages quickly? And maybe this is bad to ask you considering what you do for a living now. Is there ever a situation where you would advise a player to restructure their contract? So, for instance, Umtiti, I think, came on in one of the preseason games that Barcelona had, and he was being whistled because part of the rhetoric or the story that's going around is the Barcelona players in general were asked to take pay cuts to help with the situation. And it's come out, or it's being speculated more accurately, that Umtiti wasn't willing to deal with a renegotiation of his contract, where we hear Messi was willing to give half of his money back. People want all the players in the squad to give half their money back as if everybody in the squad is making 1 million euros a week. And Umtiti has kind of been singled out as a player who was unwilling to negotiate. Whether that's true or not, I don't have the facts. But do you think it's ever fair for a player to give money back to a club?
Fair is not the word for it. And I feel as if we had a similar...
Acceptable.
I think every player should be at their moral judgment. And I don't want to make any comment to anyone. You are an employee, right? No matter what you're doing for a living, the moment you are signed, you get a paycheck for it. That's your job. And that changes the relationship of anything. And I think, yes, these people are professional football players. They are living the dream compared to millions of people on this planet. They are also paid a ridiculous amount of money to do that task that most people will not earn in 4 or 5 years, if perhaps a lifetime. You know, Lionel Messi is said to earn $1 million a week. And I think I'm 30 years of age. I probably haven't earned $1 million in my lifetime yet. So there's things like that to consider. I also think...
Can I get 1 week of your wages, Messi? Just 1 week. Just 1 week. What's 1 week to you, Messi? It's not that big of a deal. 1 week.
I also think it should never be on the responsibility of the employee to take a pay cut to I don't think it should ever be on the employee to take a pay cut to preserve the employer, right? Barcelona are in this state because Barcelona didn't pay attention to the rules. Because Barcelona thought, we are Barcelona. We are above this and things will come out good for us one day. And the reason we're in this situation further, we also have to bring up this current case with CVC.
So yes, I had that written down.
So earlier this month, La Liga agreed a 2.7 billion euro deal with a private equity firm, CVC. CVC is going to hold a 10% stake, and the deal will give basically values La Liga as an entirety at 24.3 billion, right? And there is a huge disagreement between Real Madrid and Barcelona and this deal. Barcelona and Real Madrid have rejected it. This deal basically gives CVC 10% stake in most of La Liga's business.
For 50 years. Let's put that out there as well.
Yeah. And the way... So I'll read this. FC Barcelona considers the operation that has been announced and not fully sufficiently discussed with the clubs, that the amount is not congruent with the year of duration, and the deal affects parts of all clubs' audiovisual rights for the next 50 years. Audiovisual rights, broadcasting deals, right? So Barcelona and Real Madrid say, this deal is not nearly enough money for the amount of time you want to sew this up, and we don't want to do it. Those within La Liga very much say Barcelona and Real Madrid are so set against this because they would prefer to
have their own
broadcasting, auction their own broadcasting rights individually from the rest, because Barcelona and Real Madrid, as far as they are concerned, like, well, we're the reason why so much money is given to La Liga, because people don't pay for La Liga, they pay for Barcelona and Real Madrid games.
Right.
So that was the accusation given by La Liga. There's also this whole thing about the fact that Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Juventus have also gone, like, we still believe in the Super League. We're going to try that again. We have absolute faith in that project. So there's this whole fight as to all of La Liga signed up to CVC, apart from Barcelona and Real Madrid. Barcelona doesn't want to sign the CVC thing. So La Liga's like, fine, okay, we are not going to allow you to register your players or to keep Messi. We're going to stringently enforce the salary rules. And it's this civil war that seems to be going on. Now, the thing I've just told you about La Liga saying, okay, well then, if you won't sign this deal, we will just properly enforce the rules. Take that with a little bit of pinch of salt. The fact that Barcelona believed that the rules could be ignored, exactly, and that it's only, and the fact that Barcelona thought that they could easily ignore the rules, and the fact that the rules up until this point have often been waved away from Barcelona and Real Madrid, says a lot about the running of La Liga and the civil war between gentlemen like Florentino Perez, Javier Tebas, at Bartomeu, and now Laporte.
That's almost the biggest story here. If Barcelona and Real Madrid signed the CVC deal, all of the rules could have been bent in their favor. What does that say about all of the other things that have happened or haven't happened, considering mm-hmm. Spanish football? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. And I'd say not just considering Spanish football, I'd say considering just years worth of legislation and negotiation between large football clubs and their ruling institutions, right? We talk about how many times clubs like a Chelsea or like a Manchester United or like a Manchester City more recently have essentially avoided transfer bans or got away with light slaps on the wrist for things like tapping up or whatnot. And the fact that this is a moment where everyone's gone, you know what, not this time. And the fact that the person who is going to be the example is Lionel Messi.
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a thing. Heck of a thing.
All right. What do you... Well, I'll say what I say first. People are coming out, and when I say people, nebulous people, Twitter.
When you say people, you mean people on Twitter.
Yes. The Twitter sphere, at least as far as I'm connected, insofar as I'm connected to Barcelona, I've seen many blame Laporta for this, as well as Bartomeu, basically all of Barcelona and their hierarchy and structure, but a healthy percentage of which would go to Laporta, in no small part due to the fact that his presidency was hinged or marketed on the fact that I will be able to keep Messi. So I don't know if you saw this when they were doing the elections, but he came with like a mannequin with a Messi jersey on it, and he was basically being the godfather. Like, I'll give you an offer you can't refuse. There's no way he could have made Messi sign, but he had to give the perception that he could make Messi sign in order to get into the right position. I'll put it this way. He had to play the politician games,
mm-hmm.
and it's not lie.
It's essentially the same thing when any politician says we are going for an Olympic bid, or we are going for a World Cup bid, or exactly. We are going for a thing.
I would frame where he perhaps oversold his ability to sign Messi in order to get into the presidency. Now, I think if Bartomeu was still in charge, or somebody who had his mindset, that Barcelona would have signed the CVC deal, because that would have saved Messi. And in saving Messi, it saves me. But Laporta, I think, is doing what's in the best interest of Barcelona. Maybe not what's in the best interest of Spanish football, but in terms of what's best for Barcelona, is to keep hold of their own television, just their media rights. But somebody else would have sold Barcelona to save themselves, or to save face for themselves. So he oversold his ability to sign Messi in order to get into that position. But him being in that position is probably what's best for the club long term.
Yeah. I think Messi leaving, unfortunately, it's the idea that, and I'm sure you've felt this before, Daniel, where sometimes your football team has a horrible loss, right? You get absolutely thumped. You lose 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. And it happens, and you're first angry about it, but then you go, I'm glad that's happened, because that meant all the problems we were hiding before have come up to the surface. We can't keep coasting and can't keep nicking our 1-0 wins, hoping we can sustain our form. Now we've had this really bad defeat. We need to step back and focus on everything that's gone wrong.
So basically every Arsenal fan TV interview ever?
Possibly. I mean, as a Manchester United fan, I had the feeling after they lost 6-1 against Spurs where I went, that's awful, I hate this. But also now, we can have a conversation about what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing. We can have a conversation about how this defense works.
No, this is your time with Jose Mourinho, isn't it? Like, hopefully, yeah. All these losses will accumulate into him being gone.
No, not necessarily saying I want this person fired, but necessarily saying this is the bad thing that's happened that can reveal all of the nonsense that's been going on. And it's not necessarily you want people fired, but essentially, this is going to hurt. And I hated watching my team lose 6-1, and I hate my team losing 4-0 to Chelsea under Mourinho, and I hate every time my football team loses properly. But you do have that thing where when your team loses largely, there tends to be a moment where everyone regroups and gone and went, all right, all the problems we were kind of ignoring, we have to confront. And I think this is that on a much larger scale. All the problems Barcelona had for the better part of 5-6 years, they now need to confront. Why have they spent so much money on players like Antoine Griezmann? No disrespect to Griezmann, but why have they spent so much money on players that play in Messi's best position, right? Why did they spend so much money on Philippe Coutinho? You know, where are the academy players?
True.
MSN was really good, but it did also cover up the fact that there were no new players coming through La Masia. And now it's this thing of, wait.
Or that their whole midfield was homegrown.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you spend money on like beds and food and coaches, but you know, Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta. You don't need to spend 70 million, 80 million on De Jong, because you got talent in-house? Where are the La Masia products?
Or if you do spend 70 million, if you do spend 70 million on De Jong, you don't also need to spend a ridiculous amount of money on Artur. Or if you do bring in Artur and De Jong, then you need to move on Coutinho. And it's that thing of player trading. And, you know, you're a basketball fan, Daniel, so you understand what player trading is. It's not so much just the players you bring in, but also the players you move out. And moving out players is a skill of its own, right?
Yep.
And Barcelona, as we've just proved, are terrible at player trading.
Well.
And they got away with it for so long because Messi held it together, right? Messi is the greatest free kick taker on the planet currently playing right now. He's possibly the greatest passer of the ball on the planet right now, if not of all time. He's probably one of the greatest forwards of all time right now. Well, he's the greatest forward on the planet right now, if not one of the greatest of all time. And Messi could cover those things up because you just ask Messi, can you do more of this? And he can cover the burden. He can cover up the fact that spending 17 million on a washed Arturo Vidal probably isn't the best idea, or spending 35 million on a Paulinho so he can do a Frank Lampard-esque job for two seasons is a massive waste of money when you probably should have been bringing through some new talent.
He's really good deodorant.
This is yes, that is fantastic. Messi is the greatest footballing deodorant of all time, and he should never have been deodorant.
Exactly, he should be like like a good cologne or something. Like you got on your suit, you took a shower, then you put on the cologne. It's like, oh, now we're at a different level. But Barcelona stink, and he can make you smell not bad.
And all of those problems have now come to light, and you have to deal with them. And this might sting for Barcelona fans. But also, I as I said before, I think.
I don't think
the squad is that bad that they're going to immediately drop out of the Champions League. Yeah. I think it's gonna hurt, right? It may sting to watch Real Madrid or indeed Atletico Madrid continue their placing in the Spanish league for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a managerial change, or maybe more than one managerial change. But Barcelona will come back, because Barcelona have often come back before. But the Barcelona that we know it, that we know it, is gone, and
damn,
it needs to be rebuilt, and that's painful.
So, two things to build on that. Well, maybe one is subtracting. They'll be good if they can register the players. So, if you can, I just heard about Aguero's injury just now when you said it. I didn't know about that, but Depay looks really good in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
They need him. So whoever you got to get rid of them and get in Memphis, because Memphis looks like he's playing at a pretty good level. But this is perhaps the bigger problem. When you have fiscal mismanagement on this scale, and you're giving players who maybe put it this way, if you're Griezmann and you're making the money that you're making, and Barcelona say, you know what, I think it's time to break. We need to sell, and he's like, all right. Find me a place that can pay me what I'm being paid, or somewhere close to it. They've so mismanaged his contract that there was no club on earth who would give Griezmann anywhere near. You'd be hard pressed to find a club that would give Griezmann half of what he's making. Mm-hmm. You can't move those players. Umtiti, if he wanted to leave, and let's make up a random figure. Let's say it's 150 a week. If let's say Lyon wanted to buy him back. We're willing to give you 50, Umtiti.
And I think what's interesting is
why would I give up one third of what I'm on? I can't. So even if Barcelona want to maneuver,
mm-hmm.
the contracts that are in place are so hard to move. You can't restructure Griezmann's deal except with Barcelona. Like, but this is the only way that this could happen, and this happens in baseball quite often. Is a player has a bad contract. And what the club will do is we will offer to pay you more money, but over a longer period of time. You know? So the only way you could really fix Griezmann's contract is like, look, we owe you, let's make up a number, we owe you 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pay you 150, but we'll add a year or two. And you'll make more money over the length, but in the shorter term, your salary will be decreased. And that's how you could maybe get the money back. I don't know how football finance works in that sense, but that's... it's an idea. Basically, the only way you can fix it is by spending more money, but over the longer term. Like, just the way that I looked up the Barcelona wages like the other day, because mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so how messed up is this? And when you look at the money, it's just like, damn. If Messi kind of makes sense, Like when you see the number, like 1,300,000 euros a week, 70 million is a hell of a contract. But for Messi, it's kind of like, all right, I get it, because he's helping you guys not die. But for other players, it's just like, really? How did y'all spend that? What kind of agents do you have? Or who was in charge? It goes back to Bartomeu.
Yeah. And
I hope he has a bodyguard.
There's been comments from what I've seen on Twitter, there have been comments from Barcelona fans saying it's no surprise that when Bartomeu came in, Pep Guardiola went, I'm out. And you're completely right. These wages are ridiculous. And to bring it back to COVID, it's not just Barcelona, right? It's not just Barcelona that have what we're essentially seeing this summer, and we'll probably see. We saw this summer, we saw in the January, we saw the summer before that, and we'll probably keep getting until the World Cup in 2022, or maybe even up to the next Euros in 2024, mm-hmm. is they are all these clubs stockpiled players and paid big money and big wages for players, and they have nowhere else to go, right? And I think the way I think about it was, I'd say 20 years ago, if you were a good player and you emerged at a club like Everton, or you emerged at a club like Southampton, you would get 3 or 4 seasons at that club, you know? Right? Mm-hmm. So Wayne Rooney had a decent amount of time at Everton.
I think it was 2 seasons, but...
You're right. And this is the thing, right? You used to get...
Wasn't he 16 and 17?
That's not a great amount of time, right? Wayne Rooney had 2 seasons at Everton, and then Man United bought him. Luke Shaw had 2 seasons, maybe a season and a half at Southampton, and then Man United bought him. Whereas now what you're seeing is a player has 1 good season, they're gone. Right? So,
it was 2 seasons, yeah.
Yep. That Ajax team of Frankie de Jong and Matthijs de Ligt broken up after that one breakout season. The Monaco team has a great season. That's broken up immediately. We're now seeing Atalanta is being picked off here and there. We've now seeing the Inter Milan team that's just won the Scudetto is being broken up. Luka Jovic is a really good example, right? Luka Jovic pops up on the scene, has a really good season at Red Star Belgrade, or the club that we used to refer to as Red Star Belgrade. He has a good season there. Then he gets shipped off to Benfica, doesn't do well because he doesn't speak the language and he turns up like for training. So then he goes, he's like, I need something. Then he goes to Frankfurt. And then we said on this podcast, and they were playing Chelsea, that Real Madrid looked like they're going to buy him. I think I said it, and then you backed me up here, where we went, are we sure Jokic is ready for this move to go to Real Madrid? Because I went, if you look at his history, he plays best when he's surrounded by either countrymen or people who can speak Serbian or people from the Balkan region. And then we went, he's going to go to Real Madrid. It's probably not going to work out because I don't see many Balkan speakers there. I think you mentioned something about Luka Modric might help him. But other than that, that's about it. And we went, this is not going to work out. And now it's not worked out, right? Real Madrid have spent, I want to say, at least 30 million on him. Real Madrid spent 60 million euros on this man.
the shock in your voice.
They spent 60 million on him. And we were on this podcast going, I'm not sure about this one. Yeah. And then, doesn't have a great first season. COVID happens, lockdown happens. During the 110, 115 day break between football, Jovic's pandemic is so bad, he's criticized by both the Serbian prime minister and the Serbian president because broke COVID laws too many times. It's only in January where he gets loaned back to Frankfurt. And it seems as if it seems as if he can only really work in Frankfurt because that has the correct sort of off-the-field situation that allows him to play football. So Real Madrid have spent 60 million on a player who had one and a half good seasons on loan to Eintracht Frankfurt. And he's on huge wages. Who's going to buy him? Eintracht Frankfurt will definitely want to keep him, but they're not going to pay anywhere close to 60 million for him. All these clubs went, it doesn't matter if we spend 60 million on this player now because there might be a chance they cost 120 million a year from now.
I hear you.
And that, you can't do that anymore. Chelsea are good at, Chelsea are really good at player trading. And I'm using the word trading because they're very good at selling them as well as buying in players. Liverpool have also got very good at selling players as well as buying them. There's a really good article on Football 365 that basically says you should never break your transfer record for a Liverpool player because you're getting scammed. So yeah, Liverpool have been really good at, you know, the deferred payment they spent on getting Thiago for 30 million, but then they also go off and sold Dominic Solanke for 19 million to Bournemouth. Like, Liverpool have been good at that, and that's why when Liverpool spend loads of money on a player that's unwanted, you don't quite notice, because they can sell and keep sales sustainable. Yeah. Chelsea are good at that as well. But I'd say if you look at every single Champions League qualifying club from Europe's top five leagues, there is probably at least two players on big money that they want to move this summer that they will not move, right? Yeah. Jesse Lingard. Man United probably want to sell him. He's on 100 grand a week, and United will probably want something between upwards of 25 million for him. Which means he's probably not going to go anywhere, because any club that does want him probably won't be able to afford him. Manchester United right now have Brandon Williams. He's their backup fullback, and they would like him to go on loan to somewhere, and Southampton were interested in him. Brandon Williams is on £65,000 a week.
Good for him.
But he's on £65,000 a week off the back of half a good season in that 19-20. And there's just, the market has been, the top tier is now suffering a crumble because the middle has absolutely crumbled. You cannot keep going, it doesn't matter if they're not good at this football club because Everton will buy you. Because Everton aren't going to do that no more.
Yeah.
You cannot keep going, it's fine because Wolves will get you or Spurs will buy you, right? I don't know what powerful hoodoo Chelsea has over Arsenal, but the days of Arsenal spending money on an unwanted Chelsea player look to be over.
I mean, I think Chelsea ruined that one. It started with, is it Gallus? That didn't work. Czech, that didn't work. David Luiz and Willian.
You got Willian just now.
Yeah, Willian was like the last straw, man. You can't give up Willian and expect somebody to come back to the well. Like, they've been thoroughly poisoned. One last thing, and it goes to this. I read a stat today that said only three players in La Liga have been bought for over 10 million euros. So Atletico bought DePaul from, I don't know where he's from, but he's the Argentinian international that had a decent Copa America. And Villarreal, I think, maybe that's due to Europa League winnings or whatever the case. But only three players in the whole league have been bought for more than 10 million. So that's just the state of Spanish football. Like, yeah.
That's remarkable.
Nah, it's from Zach Lowy, Breaking the Lines. Shout out to him. But, you know, who knows? It could change any day. But I think that's what I read.
I think it's a good point. And I think what you're seeing now is the Premier League is proving more resilient compared to Europe's top five leagues because the strength of the broadcast deal. Right, so there's just been so much investment on broadcasting the Premier League right now. I think Grace on Football, shout out to her. She's an amazing football journalist. I'm really enjoying her newsletter and England retrospective. But she made the point that the amount of money Amazon spent for their football games is less money than HBO spent to make the final season of Game of Thrones. Right, but if you want to talk about how expensive, you know, what's the most expensive TV show? Every time
numbers?
They say,
but what are those numbers?
Every time you say, I do not have them to hand right now. Okay. But if we talk about, if you're watching Game of Thrones or you're watching quote unquote prestige television with film like budget, and you're saying this is the most expensive TV episode ever made, understand that episode is cheaper than broadcasting a Premier League game. And that is why the Premier League is able to do the things they're able to do. That's why Everton could pick up James Rodriguez. That is why Aston Villa have picked up Leon Bailey. That is why you don't necessarily need to be in the Champions League spots or even the Europa League spots as a Premier League club to go out and buy the best player from the top of Serie A or the top of the Bundesliga. And that means the Premier League right now is the global leader in terms of broadcasting. It's now the global superpower in terms of coaching. I think any coach or any player that is on the rise right now, you will probably have to pass through the Premier League a little bit, which then means the best tactical ideas and the best tactics you will see will eventually pop up at the Premier League at some point in time. I'm really glad Have Hope wasn't here to say that, because I'm sure he would have told me off for that and talk about the technical ability of La Liga. But, you know, like I've said before, if I went list the top 10 managers in the world, I'd say five of them currently operate in the Premier League. you know, name the 20 best players under the age of 23, you'd probably put in two or three Premier League players, and so on and so forth, right? And this is, and I'm putting this in air quotes, good for the Premier League, in that their bubble has been stronger and able to resist COVID and close the whole football outside everything else. That doesn't mean that bubble will last forever. And that doesn't mean if you peek underneath that bubble, there isn't a complete amount of chaos going underneath. I've said this on this podcast before. League One stopped existing between April and August 2020, and we all just pretended that was fine. And now League One and League Two have a salary cap that is going to cause strange things on that part of the football pyramid, and we're hoping that turns out okay. And yeah, look, we can talk about Barcelona having 95% wage to turnover ratio or 110% wage to turnover ratio. If you look at the majority of the clubs in the championship right now are operating on 90%, possibly more than 100%. Right? A lot of championship clubs are going, we are all in right now and we basically need to get promoted, otherwise it's going to implode. And there's a lot of clubs getting relegated right now going, we have to get straight back in there, otherwise we're not going to be able to cover these finances. If we look at the clubs that got relegated in 1920, so Bournemouth, Watford and Norwich, and then you look at the teams that got promoted to the Premier League this season,
yeah,
Watford, Norwich and now Brentford, and bear in mind Bournemouth got to the playoff semi-finals as well. So again, Bournemouth got promoted to the Premier League at just the right time because they were able to take advantage of the increase in broadcast money from BT Sport, and they were one of the richest ever clubs to be promoted. Right now, I mean, last season it was a quote-unquote good time to be relegated because you were behind closed doors, you didn't actually lose too much money, and because everyone else was not the richest, it meant you could probably hold on to most of your good players. So Emi Buendia, far too good for the championship, was the best player in the championship last season. And there were a number of the teams that got relegated that held on to their best players and sprang straight back up. But that doesn't mean you're going to be immune to this forever. And I think all of football right now is very precarious and looking in need of a reboot. And I don't think that reboot is going to be made with people who have the interests of the many at heart. I think like many things, when things get desperate, people start acting in terms of self-preservation rather than after everyone else.
The Super League was an idea because of this very thing. The teams who most quickly left the Super League were who? Chelsea and Manchester City. Why? Because once they saw that, oh, I don't think the fans are really in on this, they pulled back, which then led to Liverpool, United, Tottenham, Arsenal pulling back, and then the Italian clubs left, barring Juventus. The German clubs and French clubs weren't even in it, but Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus, they're looking at this and they're thinking, okay, so especially Juventus must be furious. So we've won Serie A for the past 9 years, mm-hmm. and the teams who get relegated in England make more television money than us? How? Mm-hmm. How does that work? Now, you could go to broadcasting, marketing, the lure of the Premier League. You know, we've talked about kind of the groundwork that was done in the 16, 17, 18, and 1900s to make sure that everybody knew English and you have an attachment to, you know, the mother country or the, I don't really like that language, but, you know,
yep.
In order to get yourself on a footing that you think you should be, is it worth blowing everything up? And for them, I'm sure they're like, you know what? If we can get 20, 30, 40, 100, 200 million more euros, we're going to do what we have to do for us.
The Super League was a bad idea. Was a bad idea and was a bad solution to what is a much bigger and far worse problem that football has, which is rampant hypercapitalism destroying the game and hollowing it out and creating a world of have and have nots, much like everything we've got in the world right now.
Hypercapitalism is an interesting phrase because it's just capitalism. Like, you don't have to make it rampant or hyper. It just is what it is.
You got a good point. This is essentially how capitalism operates.
But exactly. Messi at PSG makes you feel what?
Sad.
I'm happy. See, I watch French sad, football. Sad, more
but than like. We've spoken before. We all started watching French football more when Neymar went over. But
I watch French football because I like listen to the commentary because I'm trying to improve my French. So I've been watching French football for like years. This is great.
It'll be exciting. It'll be exciting, but also makes me the romantic side of me is sad.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah. Again, I wrote down PSG aren't the Wizards.
Well said.
This might be the greatest transfer window of all time. Donnarumma, Hakimi, Wijnaldum, Ramos, Messi, and I think they've only paid $60 million for Hakimi. The rest, the other four are free.
Mm.
Free, and you're paying wages and all that kind of stuff. But Donnarumma, Ramos, Wijnaldum, and Messi, free transfers, which means if they want, they still have enough money to go get somebody. Koulibaly is being linked.
If you use FIFA, if you use PSG in FIFA 22, you're bad-minded, and I want you gone.
I know. I say that, but in FIFA 20, I beat the seasons online by using Neymar, Mbappe, and Cavani.
bad mind. You're running from the grind. Running from the grind.
I tried to use Chelsea, okay? I tried to stick to my roots, but... Morata was not it. Or who was my striker? I don't know who my striker was, but it wasn't. It was not. I was using Batshuayi and Giroud. Now that I think about it. All right. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm excited. I want to see what it's like. I never thought Messi would play in a different league, maybe like MLS or something like that. Or
I didn't see Messi playing a different league.
So another top five league. Let's go. Let's see what happens. Maybe last summer I thought maybe Manchester City if he got what he wanted, but. Yeah, him playing with France, especially the financial situation that French football was in. If you know anything about the television rights deal that they had with Media Pro and how that tanked and how Canal Plus came in, and basically a lot of teams in France were having to sell. Now that you have Messi in that league and everything that comes with that, his press conference yesterday where he was leaving, like if you looked at the live stream on YouTube, there's like 700,000 people watching it live. Like, imagine having the power to get 700,000 people to watch this thing at once on YouTube. Mm. It's insane. It's just it's another level of celebrity and power. So for that to be in the French league, I think they could be able to capitalize. Not that that's necessarily a good thing, but they should be able to, you know, it puts them on a different level. And shout out to ESPN who bought the
top. It puts the top on a different level. I feel really bad for Leo. Right, they've just won the league. They won the league in an incredible manner.
I feel good PSG. For them.
And they
more people are going to be able to watch the Barak Yilmazes and Davids and Kone's and like there's so many more people are going to be exposed to the talent that's in French football just because they care about Messi or what PSG is about. So for me, it's a good thing. And I don't think Messi's dealt with French football. Like the idea, the idea that Messi's
French
gonna
ultras.
Be good. No, I mean like on the pitch. Okay. Messi hasn't been going against people from Senegal, Mali, Ivory Coast, who are trying to feed their families. This is a different level of football here than what La Liga is giving you. Maybe. So yeah, I'm really excited. But okay. All right, Lukaku to Chelsea. We'll talk about that when it happens. If it happens next week, I saw him with the jersey doing. Yeah.
I don't know if I'll come back next week. So you get all your questions in now. So
just quickly, who do you think wins the Premier League this season?
At this point in time, I'm going to say Chelsea. I think Lukaku swings at Chelsea's way until City get a striker.
If Kane goes to City, who's your pick?
It's Manchester City. I don't even think it necessarily has to be Harry Kane. I think it's just get a striker.
Yeah, I think Kane is going to City because I think Lautaro Martinez is going to Spurs. What Inter are doing, I've never seen anything like this. You lose your best three players and your manager in the same summer. This goes to what's happening with China and their thing about pulling back from football. It's a whole thing, but we'll maybe get into that next week. So yeah, I'm picking City, but for now, as it stands, Carl's going with Chelsea. Have hopes called for a quadruple, so we'll assume he's thinking Chelsea.
He loves calling for a quadruple.
Who do you have winning La Liga?
Atletico Madrid. It's theirs title until proven otherwise.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to pick Barcelona.
Barcelona have,
that would be Barcelona the most ironic thing, man.
Go on, then.
Yeah.
Go on, then.
I need the pie. Okay. I'm more excited to watch the pie at Barcelona than almost anything. Serie A, who you got winning Serie A?
Juventus.
Juventus. It's definitely not going to be Inter. We'll go Juve. 10 in a row in Germany? Is that what we're going for?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Bayern Munich, well run.
We've been asking for 10 in a row. We thought it was going to be Juventus. But actually, sneakily, in the background, Bayern Munich. And PSG?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'll tell you, all right, counter question. PSG right. By how many points?
Low double figures, like 10, 11. All right. So those are our winners. We will come back with who's going to get relegated, who's going to make top four next week. But for now, let's do some questions. What are thinking if... Okay. I know what you mean. What are you thinking if you're Sergio Aguero watching your best friend leave the club right after you joined from Kwesi 20?
I mean, there have been reports from outlets not called The Athletic. So I'm being a bit snippy there. But there have been reports. It's been on some websites. Bleacher Report has said something. But Bleacher Report has said, according to other reports. So take this with a pinch of salt. But apparently Sergio Aguero has a calf injury or calf strain and will not be available to play until November. What you're going to see is a very acrimonious back and forth between club and player until the January transfer window.
Oh, you don't think he's going to play for them?
I think what you're going to see is mention about contract law and lawyers in the next couple of weeks. Hmm. And this is based on, I don't know anything for certain. And all I'm going from is things that have been reported in places that aren't the sources I typically go to get these reports.
Gotcha.
So
on a personal level, I feel like, damn, bro. Like, I came here because you're here and now you're not here, but we never even got to play together. So it would just be like, damn, man. At the end of the day, I'm still at Barcelona.
This is it.
Right? So that's a win in and of itself. But maybe if playing with Messi, especially for a striker, if playing with Messi was like 60% of what you signed there for, to mm-hmm. not have that, I'd feel away. But then it could be filled with other things. Like, hey, now I can be the guy, provided I'm not injured, provided they can actually sign me. In light of recent events at Barcelona and their debt issues, are salary caps the way forward to ensure clubs live within their means? From Kojo at that uncle of yours. So should we do salary caps? Because you mentioned salary caps in the lower levels of English football. Do you think that's a way forward? I wouldn't hate it.
Maybe, right? Like, it is so... You cannot install a salary cap in the same way I think there's been a lot of suggestions to have salary caps like in American sport. But as you will tell everyone, American sport is a closed market. It's very hard to get traded out of the NBA. Whereas, because there are so many different independent leagues and they trade in and out with each other, that becomes very difficult.
You see, transfer caps, I would never go for. I like the idea that you have to pay however much money for a player. Like, that's cool. Salary is a bit different, though, just wage structures. I feel like leagues could do that. Like, the most you can pay your squad of players in a week is 2 million euros, and you have to figure out a way to do that. But if you want to trade one player for 100 million, fine. If you want to trade one for 1 million, fine. Like, there shouldn't be too much regulation, I don't think, on how much a player is worth. But the wages, I feel like you could structure that in a way that it's like it's a hard cap.
Yeah,
which I think would help disperse more talent in mm-hmm. in more places, which would be a net benefit, I think, for most.
I don't know how you install this right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that should be an excuse to not install some form of financial regulation. Right? Just because it's difficult doesn't mean we should never try.
You know what?
And there definitely needs to be some form of
It has to come from the leagues themselves. Kind of like what La Liga was up to. Like, look, you guys can't sign Messi because it's too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's good. It's just that you have to know when is this starting, when is this ending, so we can order this, structure it.
Yep. And how do you make sure that it doesn't further entrench the current status quo? Right. So you talk
that's
about.
That's why I would leave the transfers open.
You know why we talk about, you know, this is 95% of Barcelona's wage to turnover ratio. Mm-hmm. This is the turnover that Barcelona can make because Messi is so important. You know?
Mm.
And like Barcelona's turnover is so high because they have Lionel Messi and people want to watch Lionel Messi and people will pay money to have Lionel Messi walk around a football pitch while their advertisements are around. When Messi goes, that turnover is going to dip. Which means the wages we need to dip further. Yeah. So that's another thing that needs to be considered. It's also a thing, if you say every football club needs to hit 70% wage to turnover, right? You can't just do a blanket thing above the board because blah, 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 blah. Manchester United's going to have bigger turnover because Manchester United already have a pre-existing global brand.
If it's all relative, then who's up is staying up.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need, this is what I say. It's going to be hard to put in a wage cap. That's not an excuse to say a wage cap shouldn't happen. And I am very sure there is someone at The Athletic or other websites trying to work out how an imaginary wage cap would work. I think we've got one article on The Athletic right now as to how, if you took La Liga's wage cap rules and put them on the Premier League, what it would look like. So if anyone's got an Athletic subscription, I recommend you check that out.
Two more questions. Quick ones. How much is an Olympic medal worth to one's legacy from Gowan 69?
In a footballing sense, I think it's still really important. So obviously Olympic football, you have to be under the age of 23 or you have to be a designated player. I don't care too much about players' legacies in so much that until a player tells me they care about their legacy, I don't care about it. So if Dani Alves says winning back-to-back Olympic gold medals is amazing because it shows my longevity and it shows this and this, great. If Dani Alves doesn't win Olympic gold, I'm not going to say, oh, Dani Alves hasn't got an Olympic gold medal. And I think that's what it is. I think the absence of Olympic gold medal doesn't add to anything, but also the addition of Olympic gold medal adds a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I would put it that way. By the way, I think the only major, if we want to consider the Olympic major competitions, Nigeria and Cameroon have both won this thing. So I'm not going to say it doesn't mean anything. Because that's where Africa's done their best.
Exactly.
I think, was it 2000? What was the one Messi won? Was that 2008?
Yes.
Yeah. Nigeria finished second in that one. Then they won in 96, obviously, when they beat Brazil. And I forget who they beat in the final. It was Argentina. And what was the other one? Cameroon beat Spain in 2004? Or 2000, it was 2000. I mean, you know, I'm not going to throw those gold medals away. They're important. By the way, Canada got a gold medal in the women's.
Yeah.
So shout out to the ladies.
Women's Olympic football has a completely different history. And I think an Olympic gold medal means
more. Yeah.
There. And I think that victory for Canada and the subsequent and the not victory for the United States women's team and the not victory for team Great Britain and the deep run Sweden did are big deals that should be celebrated and or investigated, if you wish.
Last question. Why are players so dull on social media? Every post seems to be some generic version of good to get 3 points or we'll do better next time from black emoji. How many players are actually running their social media accounts? That's actually a legitimate question. Like, of the players that you've been in close contact with the past couple years, or 3 years at this point, how many players are actually running their social media accounts rather than having some assistant run it?
Let's use an example. Phil Foden. Right, so Phil Foden, Manchester City beat Bayern Munich in the Champions League, and they know they're going to play Paris Saint-Germain in the next round, and tweet goes out from Phil Foden's Twitter account that says, "See you in the next round at Kylian Mbappe, handshake." That tweet is up for 2 or 3 minutes. And then the very next day, there's an article in some British newspapers saying Phil Foden was disgusted and horrified that tweet went out from his account, and that Phil Foden announced that he would be, you know, departing from the people that run his social media accounts. In the end, Manchester City beat PSG, so that's a nice tweet to have anyway. But that is a, I think during this spell, Gary Neville said, "I don't understand why players give it out, you know, let other people run their social media. We want to see you have character." But then Gary Neville has also criticized football players for tweeting about stuff that isn't football. I think you don't see too many football players show their personality on social media, because I don't think football and the football world wants football players to have a personality. I think there is far too much to lose, financially speaking, and there's far too much to lose financially, and far too much controversy to be started by some of the most innocuous of statements.
The idea that you can spot I think this guy actually tweeted that. Like, I think this is actually him. Like, I get that feeling, which means the reverse must be more common, that this is just somebody that's tweeting it for him. Which means if you're having professional people who, like, this is their job to put out tweets or Instagram posts or whatnot, obviously these people must go to some school or class, or there must be some sort of groupthink in this arena to where they're all going to kind of sound the same, because this is what a professional social media person does. We're not here to have a personality or anything like that. Your Twitter page, your Instagram page, it's all for branding. It's to make sure, you can get a better Nike contract or Adidas contract or Puma contract, or, you know, we have a presence on social media so we can do some branding deal with the, I don't know, do they still do flat tummy tea or whatever it is? Like,
social
like
media.
Doesn't Cristiano make like however many thousands per Instagram post? Like, that's the point of his social media. It's not to interact with fans. It's to make money. So
Cristiano Ronaldo's bio basically. I need a professional person to run this. Let's look right now. If I remember correctly, Cristiano Ronaldo's Twitter bio doesn't mention anything about Cristiano Ronaldo, but instead says about the privacy policy. Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo's Twitter bio is, "This privacy policy addresses the collection and use of personal information." He has 93 million Twitter followers, right? That's Cristiano Ronaldo's Twitter page is not about Cristiano Ronaldo's personality as such, but it's very much, "This is what I use for marketing."
Exactly.
At some point on social media, you will amass such a following that even some of the most innocuous statements can be taken as controversial or provocative. So,
right.
If a football player was to tweet, "I like pizza," he's going to get 100 football fans say, "What pizza do you like?" And there's going to be 1,000 football fans saying something like, "Noodles is better." And I'm sure, even if you wanted to have a personality on Twitter, I'm sure you probably have a point where you're like, why am I doing this? All these people here are me. And I think, I mean, again, to sort of go back on myself, I think you could probably see a lot more about football players' personalities on Instagram, which is a more visual-led medium rather than a written format. But,
And look, some people don't need to tweet what they think.
Yep.
If all you have is nothing to say, like, put it this way. I don't need to tweet as much as I do. Most of the things that I think are useless things. I'd like to think maybe 10 to 15% of everything that I post is somewhat profound. The other 85% is useless. And I actually have time to think about what I'm saying. A footballer's job is not to sit and think about thoughts. But if you don't have the time to think, or you're not comfortable, then just don't engage and just use it for what it's become useful for, making money. Like, I don't want to hear what Cristiano thinks about social issues unless he's actually spent time to think about it. Just, tweet.
You see that caveat? I want someone to show their personality unless that personality is something I think will be disagreeable.
No, it's the idea that if Cristiano spent time thinking about something, and he's actually like, "Yo, I can answer a follow-up question about this thing," then all right, let's hear what you have to say. If not, then just tweet your abs, bro.
Does that include everything, right? So if does that include an athlete you're saying I don't believe in X? X doesn't necessarily have to be a bigoted view, but X could be a view such
if
as,
I was a footballer and I came out and said, I think the earth is flat.
Thank you. That was what my brain was going to as well.
And I said, that, I, you know, I,
not
I,
not quite I bigoted, but like soft earth. Benign.
I believe in flat earth theory. Then probably you shouldn't tweet that unless you can answer like a bag of follow-up questions. Like, why do you believe that? Where did you get this information from? Where's the evidence? Give us some proof. Like, if you just believe it and you think it, like, that's maybe not good enough to tweet.
Mm.
Especially for somebody who has something to lose. I don't have anything to lose, really. Except the only thing I have something to lose, like, all I have to lose is because I use my real name on Twitter. Like, I'm one of those people that I don't like using fake names for things. Like other people who are more anonymous, or you know, like Carl, you have something to lose now. You just can't tweet reckless. You shouldn't anyway. You can go in the WhatsApp group or the DMs, but like publicly facing, like, nah, there's too much on the line at this point. You can embarrass your mom, really. Like me, if I tweet something, my mom will never see it. But if you tweet something, your mom could see it. Like, it could come back.
My mom reads my tweets, so.
Oh, words?
Yeah.
That's what that's what it is, man. I'm most worried about embarrassing my parents. So, anyway, this has been the Talking Tectus podcast.
It's been fun.
Your name is still on the podcast, so.
Shout out to Uncle Paul. Shout out to everyone that's consistently listened to Talking Tactics throughout the years. I think it's always fun now when I come back and I go. And what's interesting is how many things we talked about in Talking Tactics in 2016-17 have come to pass.
That are now relevant.
Yeah. We were right about a lot of these things. We warned you.
Hey.
And a world that we can warn you about. Quite dangerous.
There we go. All right. We do this every Tuesday. Remember to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that. If you're on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, it's free. Leave us a 5-star review and read on the show. Check out the Patreon. Carl, where can people get you one last time before we go?
You can find me on Twitter at Anchorman616. You can find me on The Athletic writing, and you can also find me Premier League Productions. If you are not based in the United Kingdom, you can find me on Righty's House on the Ringer Podcast Network as well. You can also find me in the back of Marcus Rashford's book, You Are a Champion.
There we go. All right. Talk Tactics podcast, sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always football.
Indeed. We'll see you guys next week. Peace, peace, peace.
Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.